From the verb innovare, which means simply to innovate, to reform, or to change. But what is innovation? It's often tough to define, but we know it when we see it. It's a new idea, creative thoughts, new imaginations, methods, theories, it's bettering ourselves. But we take these actions often out of necessity. So what if we could harness the scrapper mentality, the hustler, the actions of those who are just trying to survive, and put it into everyday use? This is my passion project. I've attended some of the world's largest innovation conferences, developed the latest and greatest technology, and produced change within organizations who were built on and preach tradition. Now I'm here to help entrepreneurs and everyday individuals make small changes and establish a new normal through new methods, ideas, and standards to change your life forever. I'm Roy Edwards, and welcome to the Innovare Project.
I welcome you to Innovare. Yeah, this is where we innovate. This is the podcast where changes are made. If you're not growing, then you're dying. Innovation is the key to surviving. This is Innovare, where we ain't scared to make that change and create a new way, If you're ready to learn and sit back and just chill, it's about to get real, this is Innovare.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Innovare podcast. If you're new here, my name is Roy Edwards, and I'm your host here to talk about innovation, mindset, and lifestyles of an entrepreneur. I noticed while doing these podcast episodes that I never actually gave you guys an introduction, never actually really talked about who I was, my background, who I am. And for the fact that I talk and start every show that way, I figured, well, maybe it was time to make that full-on introduction. Before I get into that, though, if you guys have not already, please like and subscribe so that you get all the new updates and you know when the new episodes drop. Please join our Innovare Mindset group on Facebook to connect with other entrepreneurs that are innovating and changing the way that they do business. Now let's get into it. I started to look at happiness, started to look up some articles, started to look up some information because I came across a stat that said that Americans are the unhappiest they've been in 50 years. 50 years. A COVID response tracking study conducted by NORC at the University of Chicago stated that it finds that just 14% of American adults say that they're very happy. That's down from 31% who said the same in 2018. It's been one thing after another, this woman Walker said, who was interviewed. She said, it's very hard. The worst thing about this for me, after so much, I just don't know what's going to happen. Sure, you don't know what's going to happen, but does anyone know what's going to happen? We're all living as an unknown. We don't know what's going to happen to us. We're all reacting to what's going on in front of us. And so, sure, you can say and take these unknowns and look at them and wait for somebody else to come and save us. Or when our backs are against the wall, we can take action. We can take movement like so many of businesses and so many entrepreneurs did during the COVID times. Now, like I said, I've talked about my background with guests on the show, but I've not given a full story of who I am, where I've been. It's pretty much been just talking about the guests. And I realize that it's podcast 101 today to talk about who I am. And so today I'm going to hit the reset button a little bit and start on over for you guys. Consider this my trailer episode that never was. The origin story of a boy who never grew up and still calls himself a lost boy. Bangarang, by the way. So at the age of 12, yeah, I'll start there, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. I remember sitting in the hospital after drinking barium, which tastes like chalk water, by the way. I don't recommend it. I was drinking it for hours so they could take x-rays of my stomach, my intestines, and throat. I remember telling my mom, I'm fine. Can we just go home? But my mom knew. I was a 12-year-old who was lethargic in pain. I'd lost weight. I'd weighed 75 pounds at the age of 12, and I was obviously sick. But I still maintained that I was fine, even though the world around me was burning. I knew nothing else. But I continued to have that mindset that everything was going to be okay, and this was just life. I never played the victim. But ultimately, I was not fine, and I went on to be prescribed to just about any drug, at least it felt like it. And I was taking over 30 pills a day. My face blew up from steroids. I was taking a drug called prednisone and taking a lot of it. I was unrecognizable to a lot of people who knew me because of how much my face had swelled. So I came back, you know, in seventh grade, my picture, I looked like one person in seventh grade. I was pretty slim, obviously, only weighing 75 pounds, but I always had sort of an athletic build to myself as I played sports. And then in eighth grade, I came back and some of my friends who I didn't see over the summer didn't recognize me. And that was kind of weird. And I remember handing my seventh grade picture to someone. He was an adult at my church. He was actually the new youth group leader. And he had asked all of the students to fill out a form card about themselves and to tape a little picture on the top of it. And so I was an eighth grader and I obviously hadn't had my eighth grade picture taken yet. So I taped the seventh grade picture of myself to the top of it as that's what I thought that I was supposed to do. And I put a Clemson paw at the bottom of it because I was a Clemson fan and also asked to draw on it or draw a picture or whatever. And I remember handing it to him and him clearly thinking that it was a different person. He was at it and kind of looked around and then looked at me and he said, so you're a Clemson fan. And that was pretty much the whole conversation. I remember being one of the most awkward conversations I'd had. And I was, you know, 12, about to be 13, and just thinking, wow, like, are my cheeks this big? Like, do I look that weird? The drugs, though, the hospital visits, the new diets, it all just kind of became part of life, right? There were no good works or good vibes that were coming to change the fact that I had Crohn's disease. I did blame God. I prayed through a lot, you know, saying, you know, why is this happening to me? This can't be, you know, this can't be part of your plan. Why can't I just be normal? And then after I knew that that wasn't coming to save me, I started to develop humor as a coping mechanism. I poked fun at my nickname, which was Bagel Cheeks at the time. And some of you who might be known me for a while remember that name, Bagel, Mr. Bagels, because it literally looked like I had bagels on the side of my face. I remember I went to Christmas one time and my cousin asked me what was in my mouth because he thought I was hoarding something. And so I had to develop humor and make fun of myself while doing this, you know. And so as side effects of living with Crohn's, there's a lot of side effects that are not exactly fun to talk about and are kind of embarrassing. So I just developed humor and started making fun of myself as a coping mechanism. And because, you know, after all, life goes on, right? You can't sit there and feel sorry for yourself. And so most people look at life in terms of acts. So how good a person is means that good things will happen to me. And so if I push happiness into the world, then happiness will then in turn happen to me, right? A recent study in the United States said that 65% of Americans very strongly or somewhat strongly believe in karma, and only 10% said not at all. So as a country, we believe that the better we are and the better we do and the better we perceive the acts that we're doing are, then what goes around comes around. And so while being a servant of others is extremely important, this is not the key to a happy life. I don't believe in karma. I do believe that it's good to push out positive thoughts and to self-talk and to believe that good things will happen to you. But I don't believe that because I picked up a lucky penny and handed it to somebody else, I'm going to have some magic boomerang come around and, you know, my wealth will be twice as much. I'm not out here attempting to do good because I think that magical boomerang of the street is going to come back around and hit me next. I don't believe that happiness is a boomerang. I'm not finding a dollar on the street, like I said, and giving it away in the hopes that two will then come back to me. Works and our actions, they don't define us, and they certainly don't define our future. So while talk is cheap or actions speak louder than words, I believe a man's character is his fate, not his acts. So what does that mean? What is character? So character is defined as the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. So these are the things that can't be faked. They are your moral values and what's inside. They can't be played in a role, and they certainly, certainly don't rely on karma. While I believe in putting out good energy and positive thoughts and vibes into the world, because again, I do believe in the law of attraction, I don't believe that the purpose of this should be for selfish reasons, which is so many times when people talk about karma, they do it because of that magic boomerang. The motive for positivity in the world should not be that boomerang. So I thought for a long time that fated Crohn's disease because I was thinking, I was pushing out happy thoughts into the world. And I thought I had defeated this disease or that it was made up by the doctors. I remember telling people saying that the doctors didn't know what they were talking about and that, you know, it was just something made up and maybe I was misdiagnosed or that it didn't actually exist. I kept this going as I got older until about 2016, 2015, 2016, when I had a foot of my intestines removed in an ileostomy surgical procedure and then lived for about 3 to 4 months with an ostomy bag on my stomach. I know now that I'm lucky and that I was able to have a reversal, that it hit at that time that it did. And I know that there are people around the world that have been hit way worse than I and have to live with that bag every day. For those of you who don't know what an ileostomy is, what they do is they cut your stomach open. They remove the infected portion of the intestines. They sew one side of the intestines shut. That's the one that to your butt. They close that off. And then the one that would go, to that way, they then sew that to your stomach and it pushes out. It goes out of your stomach and into a bag. And then you empty and replace that bag as it fills up. And so I don't know if you were eating or not while you were listening to this, but if you are, I'm sorry. But I learned to live with this. I still went to work. I played sports a little bit, worked out. I played sports a little bit. I played towards the end of it. At first you couldn't do anything, right? And it was excruciating pain. I was on painkillers. And it was awful. I was taking about 4 or 5 Percocet a day to deal with the pain. It sucked. And then I'm more at night. When you were at night, you were taking them 2 at a time. Just to get to bed because of the pain, it sucked. But as it went on, I was able to be more active. See, right before my surgery, I had gotten what I thought was my dream job. And so while I learned to live with this and life still went on, this was all a clear indication that my plans, they didn't matter. And so, like I said, I just gotten my dream job. I'd been working at SiriusXM for about a year as a producer for what is now ESPNU. It was called College Game Day at the time. And I was on the radio, something I dreamt about since I was a little kid. But the truth is, guys, the universe, or I call it God, doesn't care about your plans or mine. We were designed, even before we knew who we would become, we were designed to do a very specific thing for a very specific purpose. And so we, as people, are designed for a specific calling, a purpose, and we spend so much time trying to figure it out ourselves, saying, what do I want to be? What do I want to do? When in reality, what we really need to do is we need to listen to what we're called to do and called to be, because it's not up to us. It's not like we are getting dressed for the day and to say, who do I want to be today? What sweatshirt, what personality, what purpose, what calling do I want to put on today? And so to break this down, I was taught this by this analogy. If you're having company over for Thanksgiving and you want it to be special, you prepare the table in advance. And if you're anything like my mom, you set out place tags, settings, name tags, decorations. You have a kids table, which shout to everyone in their late 20s that are still sitting at the kids table. That was me. Your place is established far before you get there, long before you get there. The conversations, what happens at the meals is not planned, right? We're not going to plan out every single little conversation, but your place is very well thought out for the flow of the conversation to make the meals as enjoyable as possible, right? Like right winger Uncle Bob, he's not going to be sat next to like left wing cousin Mary, who now goes by like Starlight or something, right? Like that's not going to happen because they know there's going to be battles, right? There's going to be arguments. That's not best for the flow. That's not best for the whole experience. So in this setting, we can eat and carry on knowing that the work, the meal, the setting, it's all complete for us. And we just have to be us. We just have to be ourselves. Everything else is taken care of. So if we already have the setting, we already have our purpose, then what? What or how do we find out our purpose and our happiness, right? Well, this is a lot simpler than you probably think. You just have to understand that we are designed perfectly. So you don't have to be anything more than what you already are and who you already are, because we are designed perfectly. We can live with confidence, knowing that when we fall, when we misstep, when we fail, these are only teachings of our own limitation, what not to do. They say Thomas Edison, he didn't invent the light bulb, right? He invented 1,000 ways not to. And so this same thing can be applied to our purpose. We cannot lose our purpose. You're not going to miss out on your purpose. Your purpose will come as it is who and what you are designed to be. So we can only ignore it until it will happen one way or another. We'll run out of options until our happiness and our purpose is the only door that we can choose. All other doors will be cut off. And then we won't run out of things to do because we are designed for that door, that room, and that place at the table. So it wasn't radio. For me, I thought that radio and Sirius XM was my ultimate calling. I thought that from a very young age. I was about 10 or 12 years old. I thought that radio was my door. And it took a surgery to slam that door shut and turn me around through another door that I was actively trying to get out of. I was actively trying to get out of the technology field, out of government contracting, out of the government world. I was trying to get out of it. I didn't want anything to do with it. I thought it was awful. I thought it was just a burden. And so I was trying to get into radio, and I floated my resume out, and I got, you know, got hired on at Sirius XM after a lot of work. I was there for about a year, and then that door was slammed shut through surgeries. So to those 14% of Americans who say you're very happy, you probably already get all of this. To the other 86%, I say stop trying to become someone that you're not. Stop trying to live by your heart and a belief of who you're supposed to be and who you think you are. I thought my whole heart I was supposed to be on the radio. And it took a surgical procedure and pooping into a bag to get me to realize that God and the universe don't give a shit what I think I'm supposed to be. Instead, we're wind-up cars. We're wound up, we're put on the track of life, and meant to perform a very specific purpose that brings great joy to those around us, and it's what we're designed to do. So I'll leave you with one last thought. I was told a story about this trumpet. I think it's an important one to pass on. A trumpet that was donated to a nonprofit organization was worth a lot of money. It was a great trumpet worth, I don't know, a few hundred dollars, right? And so the nonprofit organization, they didn't have anything really to do with trumpets. They didn't sell trumpets. They didn't play music, but it was a great donation. And they said, okay, well, how do we increase the value of this trumpet so that we can sell it? And it will be a huge deal for the nonprofit. We'll be able to raise money for it. And so to increase the value, the nonprofit, they handed it out to famous trumpet players, musicians to like increase its value. Apparently this is what you do with musical equipment. The more important somebody is who plays that instrument, then the more valuable that this piece of equipment becomes. So this experience and being played, it increases its value. The goal was to eventually sell the trumpet to help the nonprofit for its finances. But without their knowledge, the more they handed it out to people to play, the smaller the audience is of people who could actually afford this trumpet, right? When it's hundreds of dollars, maybe all of the trumpet audience are able to afford it. When now it's thousands of dollars, and so that market decreases, the trumpet soon worth became hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then ultimately became worth $1 million, and then continued to decline. And so now the organization is looking, and they're like, oh my, what are we going to do with this? Like, what are we going to do with this trumpet? It's worth $1 million plus. It's hard to find anybody to buy this who would actually want this. It has to be a collector. It's a very niche audience. So what are we going to do? Well, they put that trumpet in a safe and they locked it away to protect it until they could find something to do with it. They couldn't risk lending it out anymore because it might get damaged or scratched and that would decrease its value. And so this trumpet, which had all this value and was designed to be played, had increased in value so much that they were that this nonprofit was now afraid to let it do what it was designed to do. So here it sat in a safe. Eventually, the man who donated it came back and he said, I need to buy this. And he did for over $1 million. And so now it's played at that man's church every Sunday, doing what it was designed to do. And they asked the man, they said, why did you purchase it? Why didn't you just donate the money in the beginning? Why'd you purchase it back? This was your trumpet. You knew everything about, like, why'd you do this? And he said, because the trumpet was not designed to sit in a safe. It was designed to play music and to be heard. So know that our experiences in life, it builds our value in the world. We can earn a better job, charge more for our service, we increase in knowledge, but our purpose of what we were designed to do will never change. And our value increases. We cannot lock ourselves into a safe, into a place where we're keeping ourselves from what our true purpose is. See, trumpets are meant to be played. You are meant to live out your purpose and designed to do what you are supposed to do. So walk with confidence, live bold, and know that it's better to live bold than it is to sit on a shelf. And know that every little thing that you're going through right now, whatever your journey, whatever your story, whatever your surgeries, whatever your Crohn's disease is, it's working for you and not against you. You might not be able to see that right now. Right now, it might be hard to look at the shitstorm that you're going through and know that in 5 years, you're going to be better for it. But 5 years ago, I was sitting in pain, talking to doctors about surgery, staring at losing my dream job. And now here I am in a much better place, down a different path, but one I love so much more than where I would have been. So guys, thanks for listening. And now as you listen to these future guests, these future interviews, and as you follow this show, you'll understand where I come from, my beliefs, and hopefully you'll take more from the Inivari podcast and the Inivari mindset every week. So again, if you have not done so already, please like and subscribe, leave us a review on iTunes, and go to InivariPodcast.com and join the Inivari Mindset group on Facebook. Thanks for checking out another episode of the Inivari Podcast. You can listen to all episodes at InivariPodcast.com, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever your podcasts are found. If you enjoy watching podcasts, check us out on YouTube for a visual behind-the-scenes look at all Inivari Podcast episodes. We have recently released a community of entrepreneurs. Find us on Facebook at Inivari Mindset. That's Inivari Mindset to join the private group of entrepreneurs changing the world. Until next time, guys. See ya.